Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word, which we read together in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5. And let us consider verse 17, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Luke 5 at verse 17, and it came to pass in a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Well, a great deal of what the Savior was doing in this world was going about healing those that had disabilities. And there's a remarkable instance of that later in the chapter, or immediately after our text, that here was a man who, it would seem, not only got healing for his paralysis, but also got healing for his spiritual paralysis. The Savior pronounced his sins forgiven, as well as making him able to walk home. I use the expression, it would seem, not to question his getting spiritual healing, but just to allow for the possibility that he had got spiritual healing previously. But what I want to try to speak on and try to apply it in various ways was on this occasion, on this certain day, as he was teaching, and there were various Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, and they had come out of every part of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem in particular, that there was a special manifestation of the power of God. And that's what we should be asking for whenever we gather, that there would be the presence of Christ and that there would be healing power shown. Spiritual healing is what we're to expect. It's we're not expecting miracles of healing or storms heal quieten miraculously. Though we may find exceptional providences being granted, particularly in answer to prayer. But to think of miracles in the full sense of the term, as charismatics, for instance, would claim, that's not what we are to expect when, or now that the Bible is complete, that the whole revelation has been given. We're not to look for miracles now. But let us try to say something first of all, as we should seek the Lord's help, that Christ's miracles, particularly his miracles of healing, were illustrations or pictures of the of spiritual healing. And we'll try to expand on that. These, I believe, these miracles were intended principally to illustrate the healing of the soul. Yes, there was a purpose of doing good. That's a great thing. A purpose of doing good to people's bodies. But more than that, more prominently than that, it was Christ teaching through the illustrations that these miracles provided, illustrations of him operating to bring about spiritual healing. And then to say something in the second place about the effects of divine power somewhat more widely. There may be no very hard and fast division between the two areas that I have tried to indicate. But first, more specifically, it's in connection with these miracles as illustrations of spiritual healing, the healing of the soul, and then to say something somewhat more widely about the effects of God's power. And whatever else I may refer to, the main point here is the exercise of divine power in spiritual things. Well, if we look at these miracles, the miracles that took place when the power of the Lord was present to heal the people that came. As you might say, just to mention this just now, there were times, no doubt, in the history of the church in Dingwall, when the power of the Lord was in a particular way present to heal. One might think of the times when John Kennedy, the son I'm thinking of just now, the father, the minister of Killearnon on the Black Isle, was a noted minister whose preaching was much blessed. But to confine ourselves to Dingwall and this example just now, his preaching was much blessed. Perhaps you wouldn't say that at any stage in his ministry there was a revival locally, but I would be inclined to say rather that there would be a gathering in of souls, that there would be spiritual healing going on year after year throughout his ministry. And you see, you could say to a degree beyond anything that we see today, that in the time of such ministers, Alexander Stewart, who was the parish minister here, though his ministry in Dingwall was not so much blessed as it was in, the name escapes me, but the Mullen, where Pitlochry is the best known settlement today. He saw remarkable days of spiritual blessing in his first charge. But to notice a few examples of healing miracles, and particularly, first of all, the need for healing miracles. People coming to the Savior, for instance, and they were lame, or they were so disabled that they couldn't walk, as this man in the succeeding narrative in the chapter, he was paralyzed. He had to be born, carried to where the Savior was, led down through the roof. Yes. To where the Savior was, and the power of the Lord was present to heal that man. But you see, if we think of the inability to walk and apply it to spiritual things, then we might think of it in terms of the call of the gospel. Come unto me, and the sinner is completely unable to come. The preacher might, again and again, particularly if you think of it over a period of time, say a year, say to the congregation, and that's his duty, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. And what's wrong? People aren't coming to Christ. He calls them, and there's no coming. I'm speaking very generally at the moment. We can't say there's no coming to Christ in absolute terms, but there's not a great deal of it, certainly people not coming for the first time. What's wrong? It's a spiritual disablement, a spiritual palsy, if you like, spiritual paralysis. They are unable to come. They have no power to come. They cannot get up and go to Christ. And what do we mean by going to Christ? What did Christ mean by saying, come to me? Come as a poor, helpless sinner. Is there a contradiction there? Well, in a sense. But you see, what's needed? What will be given if there's going to be a coming to Christ? It's spiritual power. The power of the Holy Spirit for the sake of Christ. Isn't that what's needed today? Isn't that what we should be praying for? An outpouring of the Spirit. Perhaps we've seen so little and heard so little for many years that the utmost of our expectations would be that a sinner would come to Christ occasionally, very occasionally. It's all we've been seeing. Well, the Lord is able to do much more than that. He is able, and we should not underestimate his power, and we should not underestimate his willingness. Yes, sinners will come to Christ, but of themselves they have no power. What a solemn situation. A sinner under the word of God, been told to come to Christ, and he has no spiritual power. Should he just give up and go home and stay at home? Absolutely not. You see, what a reason to come, but it's under the word preached that the Lord especially gives a blessing. He is able. And we should believe, the sinner should believe that he is able. The sinner should come before God and Jesus Christ, believing that the Father is able to draw sinners to himself, and that Christ is able to heal. You see, every time we read the miracle of healing, every time we read these verses and corresponding passages in the other Gospels, or other Gospels, I'm referring to verse 18 onwards, we read that, and the petition should go up from our hearts, Lord, work in that kind of way spiritually in our time. If I said the day of miracles is over, I said it in a context. But you see, the day of spiritual miracles is not over. We're to expect greater things than these in the future. We don't know how soon the tide might turn, the spiritual tide. The Lord is able to turn the tide now. Yes. There's no lack of power there. There may be a lack of power in us. And any power that we might have will be the result of spiritual power being given, the Spirit being poured out from on high. Well, take this again in another way, that the Savior is saying, hear, and your soul shall live. Receive the truth into your mind and heart. And it's not happening. Why? The ear of the soul, the ear of the understanding, is completely deaf. There's no power to receive the truth into one's heart apart from divine power. Whether we see that happening or not, the power is there, and we should be asking for it. And no doubt if there was a particular exercise of power in the souls of God's people in bringing them to pray earnestly, if there was something of a praying without ceasing with that in view, that the Holy Spirit would be given to work in the hearts of God's people, then we might expect that it would be followed by spiritual miracles of healing, so that the sinner would be able, by God's grace, by God's power, to take the truth into that person's heart, that person being given the power, the grace, being given the Holy Spirit to work in their soul so that they would take in the great truths of God's word. Hear, and your soul shall live. They would hear. They would hear what the Bible says about sin, what the Bible says about salvation through Jesus Christ, offering himself up a sacrifice, and now at the right hand of God. What does he do there? Well, this, among much, much, much more, he gives repentance and forgiveness of sins. What the sinner is unable to do, by the powerful working of God's Spirit for the sake of Christ, the sinner begins to hear in a new way. The sinner that couldn't make anything of what was being said, in some things might make sense, but the overall revelation of God in connection with the way of salvation and the experience of salvation more particularly. There was no hearing, no receiving, no understanding. Yes. And that changes. What has happened? The power of the Lord was present to heal. That's it. The power of the Lord was present to heal. There are a good number of you here, I would assume. And there was a day in your life, a day in your experience. And under the word preached, or reading the word, whatever it might have been, the power of the Lord was present to heal. And you might be troubled because you cannot identify that day that I'm referring to. Well, is there some evidence in your soul of spiritual life? Well, there was a day. If that is the case, there was a day when the power of the Lord was present to heal, when the Holy Spirit was given for the sake of Christ to enable you to hear, and your soul lived. Life was put into your soul. Yes. But apart from that spiritual miracle, there can be no healing. Yes. Or, take this example, to do with the eyes. And we were singing, the Lord doth give the blind their sight. There are no examples of blindness being healed until Christ came. It's the Lord that gives the spiritually blind their sight. Christ. Making sinners able to see him spiritually. I'm not talking about visions or anything of that nature in connection with a sinner seeing Jesus. Whatever people have imagined about themselves, you see, the only significant thing is seeing Jesus in the Word of God. Seeing him say in that great statement of truth, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whosoever sees him, by the eye of faith, a faith implanted in the soul by the Holy Spirit, by Christ working through the Holy Spirit, where the sinner was totally unable to see Jesus, totally unable to respond to the call in these terms, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There comes a time in the experience of some when their eyes are open and they see the significance of the truths of God's word. It's a supernatural opening of the eyes, and what was meaningless before, what they could not understand at all, say, in terms of that verse, look unto me and be ye saved. They had no spiritual understanding of it. And then the word comes with power. There's a supernatural power, there's a divine power that affected the eyes of the soul. The power of the Lord was present to heal. That sinner saw Jesus. Now we can use that expression without meaning it literally. It's a spiritual seeing, a spiritual understanding, so that the soul is hold of Christ as a suitable Savior. Yes. The Lord doth give the blind their sight. The Lord gives sight to the spiritually blind, so that by faith they see Jesus. They see that he is a Savior. Excuse me. They see that he is a Savior suitable for them. Whether they understand what is actually happening in their souls at that point or not. That the Lord, who first opened their eyes to see Jesus, so that they might look to him, so that they might trust him, he will bring them in one degree or another to realize that they have passed from death into life, even if it is on the verge. I mean, the realizing of what has happened just now, even if it's on the verge of passing into heaven, that they realize that the Lord has been gracious to them in that way which they can look back on. It might be many years of deciding to find a desire which is indicative of the reality of faith in their souls. But, you see, just to bring forward a few more portions of truth which illustrate this. The spiritual reality. I was speaking about lack of power to come to Christ. The lack of power to walk in the paths of new obedience. But you see, there's this. I will bring the blind. I will, in a way that they knew not, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Isaiah 42, it's not what I meant to quote just now, but that doesn't matter. That's what you could say came out, and it's the truth, and it's relevant. But what I was going to quote was this: I will cause you to walk in my statutes. That's giving the lame or the absolutely paralyzed the power of spiritual walk, walking in God's statutes, walking in the paths of new obedience. Or again, you see, as that was said to the church in Laodicea, and there were fundamental problems in that church. There was a lack of eyesight, spiritual eyesight. So what were they told? They were to go and ask for eye salve, ointment for the eyes. Yes. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Go to Christ, who was able to anoint the eyes, and did anoint the eyes, literally, to give natural sight. Yes, anoint your eyes with eyes. Well, that's the duty of the sinner, to make use of the means. But we need something more, which is no doubt implied in that passage. There's this: the necessity of the power of Christ to bless the eyes of. And he gives that, and the sinner sees. I don't know what the effect of the Savior's letter to the church in Laodicea was, but surely there were some sinners there. And though they hadn't seen anything spiritually up to then, And they made use of the means of grace in a new way. And the Saviour came to them and applied the eyes up, gave them power to see, opened their eyes, worked a spiritual miracle. Yes, and that's what we should be looking for. But again, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shouldst go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Oh, there may be many a thing there. There's the hearing, spiritual hearing, spiritual walk, being direct. What a promise. When we know not what to do, when we are altogether mixed up, when circumstances are difficult, go back to Psalm 32, I will instruct thee. And you might ask, open my ears further, open my understanding further, open my eyes further, so that I might see where to go, so that I might know how to behave. The Lord speaking, and it's himself that can do it. Yes. Well, leaving that there just now, let us go on to our second point about the effects of divine power. And of course, that's what we've been speaking about, but in some other ways just now. You see, take the example of the miracle recorded in the first part of the chapter. Peter, or to use his other name, Simon, he had been out, probably with others, and even other boats, to fish the previous night, and they caught nothing. And no doubt that suggests to us the efforts of Christ's ministers going out, it may be for many a day, preaching the gospel, letting down the net into the sea, as it were, into the sea of souls, or the sea where souls are, to keep the picture, where souls are swimming around, and they go away, they look at their net, and they've caught nothing. And the Savior tells them to go out again and let down your nets for a draught. And this time, the catch was so great that their net broke, and they asked for help from the other boats. And the catch was such that the boats began to sink. Well, without trying to apply every detail, the broad picture is obvious, surely. Ministers, year after year, and they have hardly caught a fish, so to speak. And they must keep going out. They must keep on going out with their net. And perhaps when it's least expected, the Lord gives them a very great catch. It's happened in the past. It's happened many a time in the past. The Lord sent revival. The Lord gave an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We can't promise ourselves that that's going to happen the next Sabbath. On the other hand, we can't say it's not going to happen. May the Lord give us a degree of expectancy. I'm trying to express myself carefully. There's a flippant kind of expectancy. but that a serious, prayerful realization of what God is able to do, that's another matter. May the Lord give us that. Not only ministers, but people who know their way to the throne of grace. You see, I'm going to repeat what I've said a number of times just now. What's needed is divine power. And that power is in God's sovereign control. He knows best when to give it. He has his own purposes in connection with these things. Yes. And you see, what we have in Isaiah 62 is, give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a place in the earth. Jerusalem, of course, is a type of his church, a pattern for his church. Till the church of God is made a place in the earth. Who is going to praise God for his church in our time, apart from those who are in it? The relatively few who are in the church of God, how will the Lord's Jerusalem be made a praise in the earth? And a reason for praise to God, it's because of the divine power. We come back to that. How is the church of God going to be built up? How is the church of God even going to be preserved in the world? It's by divine power. The Lord is able, and we are to be praying. Oh, how far short we come from this. Give him no rest. See, we need the Lord to give prayer. Whatever it is we're thinking about, we need the Lord to give it. In spiritual things, that's what I'm thinking of. You can no doubt go further than that, but that's what I'm pointing to just now. The needs of the church, the needs of individuals, the needs of preachers, give him no rest. The needs of the church, though. When we might fear that it will wither away altogether, that there'll be nothing left. As you go back, for instance, to the these places in the east of Turkey to which the letters to the churches of Asia, that was the province of Asia in modern Turkey, and the east side of modern Turkey. And you go back there and there's not a trace, as far as I understand, unless something has been established in fairly recent years, but it all disappeared. When McCain and Bonar were there on their way home from Palestine, there was some memory of it. And I think Smyrna. But you see, the Lord's candlesticks can be removed. And we might be happy if the Lord's candlestick is preserved in Dingwall, for instance. But we should want more than that. We should want a building up of the things that are made. May the Lord give us grace to pray. We need grace. We should consider prayer to be a duty. But for every duty, we need grace. For the duty of prayer, we need grace to pray. Yes. For the duty of prayer, for every duty. For coming to church, for hearing the gospel, for reading the Bible. We need to be praying that the Lord would bless it, that the Lord would send it with power to our souls and to the souls of others, to the souls of those who are still spiritually paralyzed, spiritually blind, spiritually deaf. You can carry on. But you see, the Lord is able to do these things. The Lord is able to give us far more than we have ever experienced. The Lord is able to give us far more than we have ever read about or heard about. And the Lord will bring about much greater things than there have been in the past. Think of Levi as you have him at verse 27 onwards, otherwise known as Levi. He was there as a publican, gathering the customs dues. And the Saviour came where he was and said to him, "Follow me." Simple words. There is something else going on. The Saviour spoke with power. It wasn't just that Levi or Matthew heard these words and said something like, "I better do this. It's the great teacher that has said it. I better follow what he has said." Far more in it than that. He rose up, left all, and followed Christ. The Lord makes sinners willing. Now, I'm assuming that this is not Matthew's conversion. You might apply the same set of words to that. Through the power of Christ, Matthew followed the Savior. He believed in him. He trusted in him. He was made alive, spiritually alive, by divine power. But it's another example of divine power we have here. He was to be a disciple. He was to be done with his ordinary occupation. One assumes that at least from the time when Matthew was converted, that he carried out his tax-gathering work honestly. And the tax gatherers of the time were notoriously dishonest. But you see, that's in the past. He is made willing just to leave it. I assume that Matthew left his booth from where he was operating, that he left things there in an orderly way. That would be according to the way that the Savior would call people. Not to leave things to be tidied up by those who would have to come along and try and work out where Matthew had left things. But you see, the real point I'm trying to make just now is he followed Christ. And whatever call the Savior might give, it might be to leave an ungodly occupation. And he brings power to bear upon the will of the sinner, and this, or the will of the person he has brought to himself. And there is an obedient response. And it's the same when men are called to the work of the ministry and they are made willing. The Lord has his own ways of work in calling them. And the call that we might hear in the preaching of the gospel, the Savior may use it, applying it by the Holy Spirit, and this believer, for it is believers that are called to the work of the ministry. Others may go into the work of the ministry, but they are hirelings. They're doing it for the benefits it brings, whether monetary or something else. But you see, I'm just talking generally about the power of God in calling. Calling effectually, yes. Bringing a sinner into the kingdom. But there are other calls as well, and they need divine power to make the one who is called willing to obey. Yes. Take Lydia. What happened to her? There was Paul preaching. There were others there besides Lydia. We don't know of anything that happened to them. Now, that's not to say, but that they got a blessing. Perhaps they were in the kingdom already. But Lydia, as Paul spoke, the Lord opened her heart. The heart that was presumably shut till then against the truth was opened. Supernatural power, you see. Divine power. Divine power. That's what happens. The Lord opened the heart that was closed to the Word of God. And she received the truths as Paul was preaching. You see, preaching may be a weak thing in itself. It's the Lord that makes it truly powerful. Some, of course, have more natural power than others. And that's sometimes relevant in the way that God works. But that's not what I'm stressing. It's the divine power in applying the truth, as I was trying to illustrate to some extent from the miracles of the Savior. Yes. And so, should not we be asking, in terms of Psalm 43, oh, send out thy light and thy truth, that they may be guides to me. And we should be something like Bartimaeus, crying earnestly, crying more earnestly. Jesus, thou son of David, by which he meant Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And you might be here, and you're feeling your need of salvation. And you have not found salvation. Well, there's a prayer to take with you. Take it to your bedside. Trying to enter into the presence of God, as it were. Ask that he would have mercy on you. Ask that he would give you your spiritual eyesight. And it might be that that's a suitable prayer for the children of God. Have mercy on me in my present difficulties. I cannot see my way out. O Lord, instruct me and teach me in the way that I should go, set thine eye upon me to give me direction. The Lord is able. Yes. And at the same time, Jesus, thou Son of David, we might be asking. We ought to be asking. Have mercy on this one. Have mercy on that. Have mercy on my children. Have mercy on my grandchildren. Have mercy on those who sit beside me in church. I leave it at that. I leave it for yourselves to apply these things to your own situation and what you feel you should be praying for and people you should be praying for. And the building up of the cause of Christ, when it is weak, when it's as if the walls are crumbling, the roof is off, and so on. Just drawing pictures in words. Well, go to the Lord. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on thy cause. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Help us, Lord, to pray. Help us to give thee no rest in connection with the needs of thy cause. Give thy blessing. Thou art able. Thou art one who is whom we need. Oh, that thou wouldst work, that thou wouldst work powerfully. We have been noting some of the particular needs that we have. And thy cause, not least thy cause, build it up in mercy. Build us up as a branch of thy church. Provide for us. Provide laborers. O Lord, raise up men and women who would pray. Raise up children who would pray. Give thy blessing and hear the prayers for the sake of Christ. And bless what has been done in thy name at this time. And that thou wouldst have the glory. Oh, come, help us. May we be pleading that thou wouldst put a restraint in the evil one and those who are doing his work. Grant that Christ would come in the power of the word and by the Holy Spirit to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. Bless the communion season. Bless the continuing work of the gospel. Pardon us, keep us. Make us thankful. Keep us from evil. Do us good. Wash away our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.